right? This is a grocery store in Ontario, Sobeys Grocery. Like you have, what was the one we were to today? Lion King. Lion Food. Oh, not Lion King, Lion Foods. But anyway, that's where we were today, and we thought, well, but Sobeys, we got Sobeys at home. And I got a few things in there that are going to talk to us a little bit about being steadfast. Shall we pray? Father, in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that you will speak to each one of us individually. May our ears be open. May our hearts be receptive. May our feet be quick to carry out the message that you have for us. Guide us, we pray, in these next few moments that we have together, and we'll be careful to give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to do a little word study, and may I just talk to you tonight rather than preach at you? Because I want the Spirit of God to challenge your heart tonight as He has challenged our heart as well. You don't have to turn to these passages. I'm going to read them to you. Mark 10:31, unless you want to check up on me, you can do that too. Mark 10:31. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. I want to do a little word study today with regards to being steadfast and that little word last. Luke 13:30. And behold, there are last who shall be first, and there are first who shall be last. John 6:39. This is a Father's will who hath sent me, that of all that he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again in the last day. Last day. That's John 6:39. John 11:24. Martha, remember, she lost her brother. Heartbroken. Called for Jesus to come, but he didn't come just on time. But Martha, turning to Jesus, saith unto him, I know that he shall raise again in the resurrection at that last day. John 12:48. He that rejected me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him, the same shall judge him in the last day. In the last day. I'm not going to speak on the theology that's involved with those verses, but I would like to deal with the word last. Last in Mr. Webster's dictionary means an ending, tout fini. That's a French expression. It's over. If you went to a play, at the very end of it, tout fini, there's no more curtain calls. That's the end, the last. And it's important for us to realize that. And we're not that far away from when we turn from December into January. And I'm sure if you were anything like we were, you probably had a calendar on the wall that was 2010, right? Well, we took ours out, and we don't need it anymore because that was last year. We put in a new one for this year. And while we're traveling down here, we happened to go to a motel, and I picked up a USA Today. USA Today, a newspaper. And I take a look at it now, and all of that news is so badly outdated that I don't need that anymore, because I can pick up a new one tomorrow morning probably and find out what's been going on in the new kind of news that's there. But for the year 2010, it was gone. Everything that happened last year and our visit last year is long past. But we thank the Lord that we're here again this year and have to be able to spend that fellowship with you. Last, in Mr. Webster's dictionary, means the last row. We've got some people back there sitting in the last row, and they're waving to us right now. And that's good. We've got a row that people can feel comfortable in. Not everybody feels comfortable in sitting up here. We saw a little expression of what could really solve that problem, is that was when folks came into their church building, there were no pews except one at the back. So when they came in, they'd slip into that pew right at the very back. They were comfortable there. No sooner got sitting down very comfortably, and that pew started moving forward, and another one would flip up behind it. And they keep on doing that till they got everybody pretty much to the front of the chapel building. And I thought that was rather neat, rather than having a last row. And the last in a line, in a parade, anything, people like to be the last to be chosen. My older brother lives in New Brunswick. And I didn't realize it, but one time that we were together with a group of people, and we had to tell a little bit about the person sitting next to us. And Lynn, when he was sharing what he knew about me, because he was sitting right directly beside me, he said, and I was surprised to hear it, he said, I've really been kind of jealous all my life. Because you see, he said, my brother Ray, he said, was always first. You know when we used to line up to play a sport and we'd line up against the fence? And then we'd pick those that we thought would do a good job for us on that particular game we were playing. And Lynn said, well, you were always picked first and I was one of the last. I felt badly about that. And we talked about it and we hugged about it later and we got things straightened out. But last is a very real word. Length to last. Kids will say, are we there yet? Has this trip finished yet? We want to know whether it's going to, how long it's going to last. How many days or weeks are we going to be away? Are we there yet? Diseases, how long are they going to last? When Bev and I left home to come down here, we had terrible colds, both of us. And we went to the doctor and we got some antibiotics. And we wondered, boy, I sure hope they last until our colds are gone. But they, as you can see, they're gone too. And they didn't last as long as our colds. And we got down here and a lot of people down here were coughing too and had been coughing for a long time. And someone went to a doctor and said, that's a 100-day cold you've got. But anyway, it lasted us for a long time. But anyway, we'd hoped they'd lasted, but they didn't. So, talking about last, we love things to last. Troubles sometimes last. A rash or any of those kinds of things sometimes last. Let me go back to my bag. Lollipop. When you give a child a lollipop, what do you say? Make it last. Don't just chew it. Make it last and enjoy it. Right to the. We stopped on the main street of our hometown and I let Bev out and she ran into the candy store and bought this for me, this lollipop. And it has plastic on it. That's why it's lasting. Ray's not getting into it. But anyway, that's what we tell our kids. We say, make them last. And time. If you're with someone that you appreciate, you want the time to last, don't you? You want to spend that time with the person that you really appreciate that much. And just appreciate to be with them. Anybody have any ideas what I have in here? No? No, it's heavy. A shoe last. A shoe. If you go over to Cracker Barrel, you'll see two of these. They got two of them over there. We found this at an antique shop. And I used to have a man that lived down the street from me that was a shoemaker. And he was just a little bit of a man, but my, he had powerful hands. He could see his thumbs and his fingers and just the muscles in his hands. Where he would use one of these shoemakers to repair my shoes. Or whoever might come into his store. Yeah. They don't do that anymore. anymore. You just run down to the store and you get another pair, right? We don't go to the shoemaker anymore. But anyway, what he would do is he'd take the shoe and he'd put it on over the last. There are different sizes of lasts. And then if it was a sole that was needed, the old sole would be peeled off. And a new one, the glue would be put on around the edge. And a new sole would be put on the shoe. And then he would take some little tacks, usually in his mouth. And he'd take those little tacks and he'd start pounding them into the shoe in order to make the sole last on there. How many have had that experience before? You've had a shoemaker do that. Well, that's what he uses. He uses a shoe last. And Mr. Webster's dictionary says the man that uses one of these things is called a laster. Not a shoemaker, but a laster. And you know, as those little nails go into the shoe and into the sole of the shoe, and he nails them all the way around, as the nails hit the steel, which is lasting kind of steel, it bends the nail over so it doesn't get into your foot or mine. And they become real professionals. And old shoes become like new. They become like new as he works with the shoe last. What's the application there? I would love to be a last for Jesus Christ. If people want to hammer their nails in or say things that I really don't appreciate, I need to realize the fact that I can be a last. They can hammer nails in me if they want to. My blessed Savior hung on Calvary's cross and they put nails in his hands and his feet. And it must have hurt terribly. But he did it for me. Because he loved me with an everlasting love, as much as he loves you with that same everlasting love and wants to be a very intimate part of our lives. Yes, this last doesn't wear out. They work on it and pound it, all kinds of things. And this last, it fits all sizes. It meets all needs. And it just, in the hands of those who really know how to use it, they can make an old pair of shoes look brand new. Jesus Christ wants to do that with us. He wants to take this old heart of mine and he wants to make me brand new. And you too. He can change our lives. And we need to be as God's children, last for Jesus Christ. We need to stand firm and do those things that please him. I want to be that kind of a last. If God can use me in 2011 to help him to make and to mold his children into the likeness of his son, that's what I want to do. What about you? Would you like to be a last for Jesus Christ? And we need to prepare to make a difference in 2011. Just like a laster. Last year, our ministry has changed quite a little bit from what we were doing. When we go home, we usually spend a lot of time among our assemblies at home, the same as we do down here. But I was just thinking of the expression of being a last and the opportunities of sharing Christ. Last time we were here, we met a man over in the Cracker Barrel. He looked like Santa Claus. He was depressed. And when we went in there, he stood off to one side, didn't seem to want to talk to anybody. And we went and sat down in our place. And I thought, Lord, that's not right. If I want to be the kind of a person that Jesus wants me to be, I need to be compassionate. I need to know what it is to reach out to those that are hurting and need help. He came into the restaurant. He sat down away over in the corner all by himself. And I went over there and I spoke to him, sat down beside him, and I spoke to him for a few moments. He lives out on the coast. And he was really depressed. I said, do you want to talk about it? No. Well, listen, I said, I'm ministering the gospel, and I just love to pray for you. And he finally told me that he was here in Durham taking treatments for cancer. He's a trapper by trade. And anyway, we exchanged addresses so we could keep in touch with each other. But as he left before we did, he waved to us on the way out the door. and he was gone. You wonder sometimes what kind of an impact your testimony has on others. Bev and I went to pay our bill, and they said to us, "Your meal is already paid for." He's the only person I know of that would do that. The only one that would know that we were even there. And since that time, we've had the opportunity of phoning him and being in touch with his son as well before he went home and taking that kind of treatment. But meeting those kinds of people along the road helps us to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, being a good last for Jesus. We got home. We went up north in northern Ontario to find a couple of fellows that we hadn't seen for a while, and went into the house where one chap lived, and he wasn't there. He had moved out, and he and his wife were actually living within 10 miles of where we were. So I phoned him. Hadn't seen him for 50 years. Didn't get an answer on his telephone. And I thought, Bev, we've got to go. We've got to be faithful. We've got to be steadfast. We've got to share the love of Christ with others. Got to the house and didn't seem to be anybody around. I knocked on the door. Didn't get any answers, so I looked in through the window, and here he was looking back out at me. He opened the door. "Oh, Ray," he said, and we embraced each other. He said, "Just wanted you to know you're on my call waiting list, he said. "I was going to give you a call, but I have a terrible time calling people that I can't see," he said, "but to be able to talk to them face to face." We went out and we had a coffee together. We had some good fellowship together. His wife was in Arizona. They'd been in a terrible accident. She had two new knees, two ankles, one hip. She went to Arizona to get some relief from that. And he was at home alone and just sort of locked in his house. Since then, we've had several meals with him, and we've had some good fellowship. That's what it means to be a good last for Jesus. Be there, be available, and to look forward to helping others. And Ernie, we've had some good fellowship. He went down to Arizona, we phoned him, and we thought, well, we need to reach out to these kind of people. Phoned another friend of ours. Went to see him, Northern Ontario. He has six boys. His oldest boy, we asked about each one. He said, "My oldest boy," he said, "I haven't been able to get to see him." So I said, "Where's Wes?" He said, "Wes is in his apartment in the same city you're living in." And we found out as much as we could, and we found out a phone number. And we couldn't get a hold of Wes on the phone. We knew him. He had a boy who had accepted the Lord as his Savior. He had gone to Bible school, but he'd just withdrawn from everything and everybody. And his mom and dad says, "We can't get to see him. He won't open the door." We couldn't phone him, and I said to Bev, I was a police officer for 30 years, many of you know that. And I've seen a lot of horrible things of young people who will lock themselves in a room or a basement or someplace. And I thought, we've got to go and see this kid. So we drove up to the apartment. And I went to the door, and it was locked. Of course, you got to push a button and get permission in. Wes's name wasn't on the list. And when I pushed the button for his apartment, it says, "Not operating." So I called the building superintendent. He said, "My wife and I are just going out." And I said, he said, "What did you want?" And I said, "We would like to get in and see Wes." And we gave him his last name. "Oh, come on in," he said. Pushed the button and let us get right on in there. And I went in. And I went to the wrong apartment. It was unlocked, and I left a card in there. I don't know who lived in that apartment, but anyway, it was unlocked. So I came back out to the car, and Bev said, "Ray, you've gone to the wrong apartment." And I thought, how foolish of me. We went and had a cup of coffee together, and then when I said, "We've got to go back." We went back together, and the building superintendent was now in the lobby with his wife. Knocked on the door, gave him a card so he'd know who we were. And this man went up to the apartment, and he knocked on Wes's door, and the door opened. And Wes was standing there, and he was as thin could be. He didn't have a stitch of furniture in his apartment, nothing. He slept on the floor. And the only place he really had, if he wanted to sit down up higher than the floor, was on the toilet seat. Had nothing. He was living on a bit of dry oatmeal. And he was eating the oatmeal and making himself a cup of coffee, and that was what he was living on. But wasn't having any contact with anybody. The Lord has enabled us to make a friend of Wes. And when we left, we went out with him for coffee. He came down to our house on his bicycle and he said, "Could we do this once a week?" I said, "Thank the Lord. Be faithful. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Since we left home, another one of our elders has said he would contact Wes and take him out for a cup of coffee once in a while. He has not been able to get in touch with Wes. So we don't know what to expect when we go home. We don't know. But folks, the Lord has called us in these last days. Can I use that little term? In these last days, to be good last.